It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bet.
It's a good man. Good man in the community. Sup, ha! Tell him your name sent you.
A3.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of that dogger. This up, please. I'll make it enough. Sup, ha!
Tell him your
it's
name sent you. Sent
you. Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast.
Welcome to It's That Podcast, episode 26. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Jason, tell them what time it is. Yes. Oh. Yeah. The hammer's about to fall, Jay.
It is.
It already has fallen.
Tommy picked this, of course, because he's a big Queen nerd.
Oh, of course. Aren't you, Tom? Right?
Yeah. Don't try to deny it.
Don't. Yeah, you love all of it. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me.
What's good, man?
Oh, it's all good. Great to be back in the saddle
for
another episode. Always good. I've had a lot of this week off of work, so I'm rejuvenated mentally and ready to go and the whole nine yards. So, of course, we have to start this off
with Corrections Corner.
With our little trip to Corrections Corner.
The best part about Corrections Corner this week is it isn't really a correction because we fixed it during the show last time, which was outstanding.
Yeah, we did. I caught myself.
Yeah. You caught me.
I did. That's true.
Our friend and associate producer Bill emailed me after the show went up, and he says, "Good show. Thank God you guys identified that your power comes from your lower body. I was on my walk when you guys were talking about shoulders, Chris Bryant, and I started to black out." So just to bring you back up to speed, I was wondering if Bryant had a power drought because of his hurt shoulder, and Joe pointed out that your power comes from your legs, dumbass.
Well, so. I didn't know that either until...
Okay.
Because what we talked about in the last episode was there was in transition between Carmen Yurko and Waddle and Sylvie. They were talking about it. Like, does his shoulder, and Yurko's like, yeah, of course it's his shoulders. Right. And the producer chimed in, I forget which one, chimed in and said, hey, we've got the sports science guy in Bristol. Why don't I give him a call? See if he can come on. So they did. He did. And he said, no, it comes from your legs. Like everything, all your power comes from your legs. Everything else is just sort of coming along for the ride, but it's your legs and your hips that generate all the force. So there you go. Yeah. Asked and answered, counselor.
Correct. Brian Hanley.
Yeah, man.
Being relieved of his duties on the score. Again, just.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Another axe to fall. And John
score
Greenberg,
original.
Yep. Very much score original.
Yeah.
And as John Greenberg of The Athletic pointed out, all the guys that he's hired, that Jimmy DeCastro's hired, are all from that defunct The Game that GN tried to spin off.
Right. So in my head, it's a complete ego trip, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to prove that the lineup that he wanted would work if it was marketed the right way and, you know, had enough.
Right. Yeah.
Enough initial listeners.
Yeah.
He couldn't get it off the ground as a new enterprise.
Right.
But, yeah. And, you know, going back, that guy was a genius. That guy built the loop.
Yeah. We gave him props.
Johnny B.
Yeah.
Kevin Matthews. Yeah. Stephen Gary.
Yeah.
That's the greatest lineup that in Chicago radio that I can remember growing up.
Yeah. And we gave him mad props for it.
Yeah.
But that was then.
Yeah.
And this is now.
Yeah.
And the listenership at the score, I mean, like on Twitter, I think I want to say it was Jay Zawoski's Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He finally let loose
a little bit. Broke his silence. Yeah. I saw that.
Well, he didn't give any details.
No.
He's like, you know what? If you think I'm going to rat on people.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
These are, you know, it was kind of like the scene from All the President's Men when Woodward and Bernstein are going door to door to door to door, and they run across this chick, and this chick goes, "Do you have any sense of loyalty? Do you know, you know, these right. are people I work with and yeah. I respect and da da da."
Absolutely.
And Zawaski goes, "Even if I had any dirt, I would never spill it here, and I'd never tell anybody."
Right, but remember his first tweet that came out said Hanley was his favorite person ever to listen to. The only yeah. time he ever called in yeah. to the score was yeah. to talk to Brian and get his thoughts on yeah. Hawk stuff.
And he would say, "Wait an hour online, yeah, or on hold,
yeah,
waiting for Brian to answer his question about the Hawks."
So today it was Hanley and Barry Rosner.
Oh,
it was really? So it was so good. And I know I know you didn't listen because you don't listen anymore.
And
because
I was asleep. And well, I was awake or ish. But anyway, yeah.
But those guys, I mean, just hearing them, you know, tell stories about when they were beat guys on the road together.
Yeah.
Just being drunk in yeah. like Montreal at 4 a.m. with Mark Grace. And right. It was fantastic. And you're losing all of that.
Yeah, you are.
You're throwing it away.
Pissing it away.
God.
You didn't have to.
No.
Now, we should clarify that his contract was up.
Right.
And yeah. they're just not re-signing it.
Yeah.
This wasn't like he had a contract, like Goff and Spiegel.
Right.
Well, Goff mainly. Spiegel still does some time. He was on with Lawrence.
Right.
The other night, which I did not hear, unfortunately.
Nor did I. But
I was at the Sox game. But
I heard good things.
But yeah, it's just his contract ran out. They're not renewing it. That was their way of getting him out the door.
And that's
I would even venture to guess it wasn't getting him out the door. It was getting David Hall in the door.
That's exactly what
and
it was.
And he had to go somewhere.
That's exactly right.
And DeCastro probably looked at all the contracts and went, "Oh, look.
This is expiring.
This one's expiring.
That's an easy move."
Yeah, right. Right. I mean, it's ridiculous. And those guys gave up their newspaper in hindsight.
Well, yeah.
You know. Right move.
Right move.
Because the newspaper business is the shit.
Yes.
It's just awful right now.
It is. But what are you doing? It's the number one morning show
yeah.
for men 15 to yeah. 45. Is that right?
25 to 54. 25 to 54. And not only that, but...
Dyslexic.
But even in the column, the Greenbergs said that they're number one.
Yeah.
In that demographic, which every sports radio station in the country
goes by every metric, yeah,
number one,
yeah,
by a lot. My understanding is,
yeah,
in that demographic, in all of Chicago radio,
yeah, that share
it boggles my mind that they wouldn't renew them.
Yeah.
It's idiocy to me.
Yeah,
it just cut your nose off to spite your face just to help your buddies.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
It is.
So it seems like anyway.
But you know what? Why not take a time slot that's not doing well and try to fix that?
Well, because they just shook up the other ones, right?
I know. Yeah. They absolutely did. So and those numbers were good too.
And DeCastro knows that he has to get traction with that to make himself seem right.
Yeah.
Right? He's got to get traction with Parkinson, McNeil, and Connor McKnight and Dan Bernstein. He's got to let that trail ride because this is his move. Now he made his bed. Now he has to lie in his bed.
Yeah.
So.
And I really wish I was strong enough and could just not listen. Yep. But when I'm in the car, man, if I'm not listening to music or a podcast, you know what? And I'm turning into an old man. So I do listen to GN on occasion now.
I try. I've tried at night on the way home. I just can't.
Yeah.
I just can't. It's like the GN that you were when you were a kid. It hasn't changed.
Well,
the people have changed.
Yeah.
But the style of radio has not changed.
But see, what I think is funny, and it's interesting that you say that, it feels like they try to skew younger, starting like at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, the download. And,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, really? And aren't you alienating people that actually listen to this? Not right. me. I mean, I didn't have a problem with
sure.
it.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm a Bill Leff and Wendy guy. It's just, oh my God, you're old.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm old.
Guilty
as charged. I like comforting voices, talking about things that relate to me.
Right.
You know? Yeah,
we all do. But I mean, I just can't. But what might stress this might. And I'm working every day that he's going to be on. So Monday, Tuesday, yeah? and Wednesday, Uncle Terry's coming back.
He is. Heavy with Fuel Dan Crew. McNeil,
Heavy Fuel Crew reunited. Because Parkins is on vacation and the All-Star break, there's nothing going on. So
we're such whores, man. Yeah. We sit there and rip the score and then we advertise.
Right, exactly.
Because I know.
It's the reason we were listening to the score in the first place.
It's the programming that got us there.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pimp that, but I don't know if I'm going to listen because I'm going to be at work. But
right.
I may try to stream a little bit. We'll see. I don't know. So anyway, Brian Hanley, thank you.
Yeah.
I know you're not going to hear this, but thank you.
Absolutely, man.
Because you were a score original and one of the best guys on that station.
Agreed.
So
always, you know what? Laid back, subdued, yeah. Dry, but funny as
but
hell.
But fired up when he needed to be.
Oh, yeah.
He could get.
Yeah.
He can go there.
Right.
If he had to.
And knowing his stuff, too. I mean.
Very knowledgeable.
Being a Cub guy.
Yeah. And a Hawks guy. That was the big thing that attracted him.
Got you.
The Hawks sure. guy. Yeah. Well, speaking of the Hawks, breaking news. Just an hour or so before we started hit record on here, the Hawks made a trade.
They did. Wow.
And they dumped Marian Hossa's contract. Shocked.
Man, talk about rich people problems.
Oh, got that right. Rich people problems it is. So here's the dealio. Here's how the NHL contracts work, just so everybody... I'll do my best to explain it the best I can. And Bill, if you're listening and you see Corrections Corner, please feel free to let us know. All right, so here's how it goes. NHL contracts can have any number on the contract per year. So let's say the value is worth $24 million. You can go $14 million the first year, $5 million and $5 million for 24. The cap hit, however, is the average value over the length of the contract. So at a three-year, $24 million, even though you're paying $14 million, $5 million and $5 million, let's say, the cap hit is $8 million. That's what counts against your cap hit, right? Okay. So when Hossa signed his deal with the Hawks, it was a long-term deal. It was front-loaded. But the cap hit itself was $5.3-ish million for the length of the contract. That's the cap hit. His actual salary right now, because it was so front-loaded, is only $1 million. And in the NHL, there's a floor. There's a cap and a floor. You have to spend at least this much. In the NHL, that's the way it works. Some teams want to try to artificially hit that floor because they're so bad, they're trying to rebuild or whatever, or attendance problems or whatever, that they want help reaching that floor, right? And not having to shell out a lot of money out of their own pocket. So it's not surprising to me that the Hawks found a suitor to trade Marian Hossa's contract. Because Marian Hossa is not playing hockey again. He's retiring. He's not playing, but his contract still counts, right? For cap purposes and everything else. So the Coyotes needed help getting to the floor. And they took a $5 million cap hit to get to the floor and only pay the guy $1 million of that $5 million. That's a win-win for the Coyotes, right? But in order to do that, you got to sweeten the pot. Like, you got to make it worth the other team's while in terms of another player, another asset, to couple with Hossa's contract to help offset the damage, but whatever. The sweeten the pot a little bit. So they had to deal Hinostroza. So they dealt Hossa, Hinostroza. They dealted, good English. They dealt Jordan Oesterle, which isn't a big deal. They've got a ton of prospects, defensive prospects, so it's not the end of the world. A couple other prospects and a pick to the Coyotes, and they got back Marcus Kruger. He's back. Yeah.
Because the Hawks are desperately, like a Jimmy DiCastro, are rebuilding the 2015
yes.
Stanley Cup team.
5 years too late. Right. So, but at any rate, so they get back Kruger, a couple other prospects, some draft pick, but the biggest thing is now they have $9 million in cap space. And I was going to go into it earlier, before I found out about the trade, about the mechanics of trying to deal him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to have to sweeten the pot, have somebody take a player to take his contract. But once you get rid of the contract, then it's going to free you up. But this is something that should have been done weeks ago.
Yeah, because free agency is already starting.
All the good players are gone.
Yeah.
And in the NHL, you can go, in the offseason, you can go 10% over the salary cap. But you have to be down under that 10%. Or back to the regular salary cap at the start of the regular season. That's the way it works. So they could have been over the cap a little bit. So if they only had $9 million in cap space, they could have gone 10% over. So $9.9 million to give to somebody or whatever. But they had to get back under it.
Right.
The net crux in this whole thing for the Hawks is now they can make other trades, take on more salary. The free agent thing has kind of gone its way. All the good guys are gone. They made their they signed the people they signed. Nothing right home about for the people they signed. Veteran people. That's all they did. Cam Ward, good backup goalie to back up Corey Crawford. And just pieces. That's all they got. They didn't get like a guy. But now they can maybe make a deal, and they have the cap space now to take on a contract, whereas before they didn't. They can trade some prospects and get a guy. Completely doable now. Now that Hossa's $5.3 million cap hit is off the books.
Nice.
Yeah. I think that explained it well.
Yeah. If you do say so yourself.
If I say so myself, I think I explained it just fine. But yeah, so again, in the Hawks.
My words have failed me.
Well, then shut up.
That's right. The Hawks released a statement thanking Marian Hossa for waiving, because Hossa had no trade. That's the biggest thing about Stan Bowman, that one of the knocks against him is every single trade or signing he makes or whatever, he has to include a no trade clause. Like, I don't understand it.
Yeah. That was the Jim Hendry Cubs of the 90s.
Right. Right. Exactly.
We're going to pay you way too much money and give you a no trade contract. Right. Clause.
Yeah. And that's the way it was. And Hossa waived it. He understood it. He was unhappy that it's all symbolic, right? Because he's not playing again.
Right.
But he did the Hawks one last favor and waived his no trade clause.
Now, and like you said, symbolic.
Yeah.
When this contract runs out, would the Hawks sign him for like a day?
Probably.
To retire, probably. So he could fully retire as a Hawk?
I can about guarantee that.
Okay.
Or they'll give him a gig, special assistant or something. You know, maybe put him in charge of
goop.
Some European scouting or some sort of goop goop research or something.
We shouldn't laugh at
that. No,
the man.
I know, but.
It's his livelihood.
Of all the ways that for your career to end.
To end. Being allergic to your equipment.
Yeah. You can't wear hockey equipment. Like, that's messed up. And there's other instances of this, too. If you go on Google, just Google it. The goop. And I don't know if it's called the goop, but NHL, I don't know, allergy or something like that. Like, it's crazy. Like, there's a story of this guy. He played for the North Stars in the 70s, so I have no real like for him. But he couldn't sleep. Like, he couldn't lay in a bed.
Wow.
He had to sleep sitting up, like shit like that. Like, that's major stuff. This isn't, it's funny to talk about, but I mean, to try to deal with it has got to be.
Excruciating.
Got to be excruciating, painful.
Now, we've given you folks tips and hints on your million-dollar idea. Find a way to make hockey equipment that.
Hypoallergenic.
There you go.
Yeah. You would think they could somehow. Right?
Think about how bad hockey bags stink.
Oh, I know from personal experience.
Yes,
they're
sir.
Not good. They're not good. They smell pretty raunchy.
Pretty.
And the gear is just, you got to put it in like an isolation tent, hazmat tent or something after you're done playing. Oh, it's disgusting. It's just gross.
It is gross.
Yeah.
Hey, you have All-Stars for me?
Yeah, man. So we got the All-Star game. Starting, or it's going to be about less than a week away, right? Like 5 days away, roughly, as we tape this. So your All-Stars are as follows. In the National League, your catcher is Wilson Contreras.
Nice. First timer.
Yeah, man. At first base is Freddie Freeman. Second base, Javi Baez, your starting second baseman. Deservedly so. The guy's been unreal. Third baseman, Nolan Arenado. Shortstop, and this is ridiculous to me, but it's Brandon Crawford. I don't, but the Giants all dump the ballot box, and there you go. That's where, another reason why I don't really like the way the All-Star game is voted on. Anyway, the outfield is what it's been for the last month. It's Markakis, Kemp, and Bryce Harper, which again, we can talk about that more. He's hitting like .210.
Yeah.
No DH, obviously, in the National League. So the American League, catcher is, and all these are pretty much the way they were for most of the last couple of weeks. Wilson Ramos, catcher. Jose Abreu slumping and stumbling his way to the All-Star game.
Wow, that's been a rough 3 weeks.
He's been horrible.
And I don't know why. He was a leading vote getter.
Yeah.
When last time we recorded this.
Yeah. And he's got a bad foot. He fouled it off. He fouled the ball off his foot.
Mm.
So that could be contributing to it. I don't know. He's playing hurt maybe. I don't know. But he's been terrible.
Wow.
Jose Altuve at second. Jose Ramirez at third. Manny Machado at shortstop.
Soon to be a...
ex-Oriole.
Yes. We'll
talk about that in a minute. Outfield is Trout, Aaron Judge, and Mookie Betts. And your DH is JD Martinez. Deservedly so. And the pitchers, we've already heard a couple changes already. The Cubs announced today, I believe, that John Lesta is not going to be pitching for the National League. They moved up his start to Sunday, and I believe there is now a rule in the MLBs that you cannot pitch in the All-Star game if you start on Sunday. I believe that is now a rule. So, yeah. So there's no...
But he's still going, and he's taking the kids.
Yeah, he's going.
He's going to make a time of it.
Of course, of course.
He's a good soldier.
Yeah. In his place, they announced... who did they announce? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I have it right here, actually. Ross Stripling from the Dodgers. So your pitchers for the National League, Patrick Corbin. He's been not great. He's on my fantasy team. So I know that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not good lately. Jacob DeGrom has been lights out. Doolittle's been lights out. Foltynewicz from Atlanta. Hader from Milwaukee. I watched that guy pitch in person because they played the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's unreal.
Wow.
Unreal. Brad Hand from the Padres. Mr. Hand. Kenley Jansen. Joan Lesta. Miles Mikolas from the Cardinals. I saw him pitch against the White Sox. I mean, he only let up 2 runs. So he looked all right. I was watching him, trying to see what was making him so good. Like, you know, outstanding fastball or whatever, but he's just an all-around, he's just having a good year.
Hmm.
Aaron Nola, Max Scherzer, and Felipe Vasquez, along with the aforementioned Ross Stripling from the Dodgers. Pitchers for the American League, Trevor Bauer, deserved. Jose Berrios, deserved. Aroldis Chapman, deserved. Garrett Cole, mega deserved. That guy's been lights out.
Yeah, nuts.
Edwin Diaz from the M's, really good. Did he not break the record for saves before the All-Star break? I think I remember that. He's like 35 saves, something ridiculous. He's crazy. J.A. Happ, Joe Jimenez from the Tigers, Craig Kimbrell, Corey Kluber, Chris Sale, Luis Severino, Blake Trenin, and Justin Verlander, 5 syllables, 1 pitcher.
Not pitching.
But not pitching. And they have him in here on Detroit. They have him on the wrong team.
That's funny.
How can that be possible? Like, at first, it just literally dawned on me when I'm looking at this. Like, yeah, he's not on Detroit anymore, guys. Bleacher Report. At any rate, he's not pitching. Yeah, he's also pitching Sunday. And reserves. Yes. Boo this man. No Cub or White Sox reserves. So what you see in the starting lineup is what you're going to get from both sides of town.
The only argument I would make would be for Almora, but...
There's no argument on the White Sox, no.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
No.
Nothing there. Kevin Smith doesn't do it for you?
No.
Omar Narvaez? No. No. James Shields? No.
No. I'm surprised he's still on the hose.
Joaquin Soria? As we get closer, we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to touch on Manny Machado.
We were.
Twitter is all a flutter about Machado going to the Yankees. Now, if you're the Orioles...
Yeah.
Why?
I wouldn't want to be.
Unless.
F-A-I-L.
Who would? Right? They're terrible. I get enough terrible in my life with the White Sox. At least the White Sox have a future. The Orioles, look, you have to trade Manny Machado.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to trade him.
Right.
You got to get something for him. You're not going to
let him walk.
Here's the problem. You don't want to trade him to a team you're trying to catch.
Yeah, but...
But maybe they are of the opinion, we're not going to catch him regardless.
Right.
Right? Like, we're just not going to catch him anyway.
Right.
What difference does it make? If we can get the most back, if the Yankees can give us the most return on our buck, then maybe you do trade with the Yankees. But I just... It's the old school baseball guy in me that... I don't know if I trade him the Yankees.
Well, the big players there, it was Yankees, Dodgers.
Yeah, it's all the big names.
Well, and Cubs were originally in there, but they've pulled out. They're not going to be in the Manny sweepstakes.
I mean, yeah, because I mean it's going to cost you Russell for sure.
Right.
Maybe some of your top pitching prospects, which they don't have a whole lot of. Their minor leagues aren't. You traded your best pitching prospect to the Sox.
Yeah.
Dylan Cease. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've heard also the Twitters are telling me that Cubs are interested in Jacob DeGrom.
That's insane.
Because the Mets are backing the truck up again.
Right.
Again, but what do you give them? Like, yeah. What you don't
you're not going to get Thor.
And we talked about this on a previous podcast. The Cubs minor league system is like on life support.
Well, yeah. I think they've drafted well over the last 2 years.
For sure.
But those kids are 2-3 years away.
Right.
And, you know, they're not making hay yet.
Right.
And, yeah.
And like, you know, the players that are 1 year away possibly, you don't have hardly any of them.
No.
In your system.
No.
So, you know, who would you trade to the Mets? I mean, Russell, obviously. I mean, Russell's got to be part of that whole thing.
Yeah.
Because then you can play Javi Baez at short and play Zobrist at second or Happ at second, right?
And everybody, I mean, the first name out of everybody's mouth, of course, is Schwarber. But they love him.
If you're gonna, not only that, but if you're going
to
trade Schwarber,
he's got to go to the American League. I know, I get that. But I don't think he's ever going to be a trade piece, to be honest.
I think they love him. I think you're too. Right. I mean... It'd be like the Sox trading Abreu. Like, I don't think that's going to happen, especially now. I mean, he's been terrible.
Right.
Maybe he's tanking it on purpose. he's the smartest player of all. No. He doesn't want to leave, so he's tanking on purpose.
No.
I don't think that's true. I'm just kidding. I'm just being facetious.
Well, somebody I'm not going to be facetious about.
Yeah.
Tony Rizzo.
Yeah, man.
You know, every year he has like a bad 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and you're like, all right, whatever. Maybe something's going wrong, emotional, whatever it is.
Minor injury.
Something that sure. he plays through.
Yep.
And then he clicks. This year he's had maybe 2 good weeks, and the rest has been
no clicky, no washing.
And I've never seen him have a poor defensive game. And that game, he cost them a game against, help me out, Joe. Who did we play before the Giants?
Reds.
Yes, yeah. It was the Reds.
Well, when you face the Reds, Mr.
I know. Yeah. The road to the 2018 World Series yep. goes through Cincinnati.
Goes through Jim Riggleman's office.
Yeah. So, he had 2 errors back-to-back
yeah.
that cost them the run that tied the game, mm-hmm. that led to extra innings, blah, blah, blah. Right. But... And yeah, that's the other thing that's been freaking me out lately is they just can't, after having that offensive explosion,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, nip and tuck, man.
It's how many
nail biter 2-run games can you have?
So here's an idea that hopped in my head. Again, as I'm not a Cubs fan, so I'm asking this to a Cubs fan.
Right.
To answer the question for
me. Yes.
How much of Joe Maddon's lineup changes? Seem like daily lineup changes where like this guy's here and then he's here and then he's here and then he's here. There's no real consistency to the lineup. Does that affect? Do you think that has any effect? I mean, they won a World Series and made it to an NLCS with all that. So I mean, but
yeah, I know.
Is it starting to maybe? I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I mean, and we've talked about this before that statistics tell you it doesn't really matter where a guy hits in the lineup. I mean, if he's first or second, he's going to get an extra at bat a day.
Correct.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, once you're through, you're through.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's the order. I think it's the lineup itself.
Okay. It's the players in the lineup.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's made the right moves. I'd like to see Almora more, but I like Happ.
Right.
I mean, and barring injury, everybody's kind of locked up where they are.
And do you think
Hayward's resurgence?
And do you think that Almora, if he played every day, would still be as good as he is now? There are players like that. There are players that are good because they don't...
Their spot. Yeah.
They know their role and they only play when they play instead of every day.
I don't know. I think you know, and he would be an interesting trade piece.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think you could trade him. I mean, you could, I guess, technically, but I think he's another Theo guy.
Yeah.
It seems like it anyway.
It does. It does. And the names I've heard kicked around for the Cubs coming back this way, you mentioned DeGrom. I don't know that they're going to get a top line starter because of all the money they spent on pitching in the off season. And I just remember how excited people were. People talked about this being the greatest starting five.
Yeah.
On paper, Darvish, in history.
Darvish has, what, 10 starts?
He's shit the bed, yeah.
Right? Darvish has, like, 10 starts. Quintana's pitched a lot better. Got to give him props.
No, absolutely.
His strikeout-to-walk ratio is a little low. Yeah. But he's not striking. He's not missing bats, necessarily.
Right.
But he's pitching through innings and pitching well.
And Montgomery's starting to show us now why he's not a starter. Correct.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
In small doses,
right,
these guys are good. But when you start applying the gas a little more and saying, hey, we need more from you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's an issue.
You know, and looking at this year going in, I'm like, well, Lester's a year older, all that, you know, wear and tear on the arm, he's going to start slowing down.
Mm-hmm. He
without him, oh, God. We're the Reds.
Right.
Honestly.
Well, the Reds are not terrible.
Well, they were.
They were. And their record is not indicative of how good that team is right now.
Correct. And is it all Riggs? I mean, they didn't get him anybody different.
It would have to be.
Is it culture?
Right. It have to be.
I mean, they've won something crazy, like 18 out of 23 games.
Yeah. I mean, they're above 500 under Ruhlman.
Yeah.
The problem is you started 3-19 under Price.
Right.
So you dug yourself a hole you're not going to be able to dig out of. Like everybody says, you're not going to win a pennant in April.
Right.
Which is true.
No, but
you sure as hell can lose one.
Yeah.
That can definitely happen. If you dig yourself a hole like that, that is almost impossible to dig out of.
It is. I mean,
but in that division, though.
They were close to being mathematically eliminated.
Yeah.
In early, like early May.
Yes. Yes.
So.
Yeah. And I saw him play at the rate. I had a game that they played there, and they looked good. You know, looked all right.
So why don't the Reds just give it to him? I mean, he's still the interim manager.
Right. That's what, I think there was an article in Athletic or MLB.com or something. Okay. Like, why don't you just take the interim off of him? Make him the manager. He's earned it.
Right.
Right. He's earned it.
Well,
I don't get it.
Well, if they took interim off, they'd have to pay him more.
Right. And not only that, but who knows what this team's going to look like after the trade deadline.
Right.
Right.
Well, because
you have assets that people want. Jeanette, Suarez, you're not going to trade Votto.
No.
You know, the bullpen is all
cheap. What about Hamilton?
You can definitely trade Billy Hamilton.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Billy Hamilton fan.
Because you can't steal first.
You cannot steal first. That's right. You can steal second. Oh, he's fat. I'm not debating that. He's fast, but you have to get to first before you can get to second, kid.
That's correct.
That's how it works. So anyway, so the All-Star game anyway will be in like 5 days as we tape this. So Tuesday, the whatever it is, 17th.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I got my... my hobby jersey coming in the mail.
Do you?
I think it'll be here tomorrow.
Nice. Very nice.
So I can sit in front of the TV like a big nerd.
I remember I went to the All-Star game in... I've been to a couple.
You went to the one in Minnesota, didn't you?
The one in Minnesota. And yeah. I also went to the one in Detroit in 2005.
Oh, wow.
And I had a buddy of mine wanted a Derek Lee All-Star jersey.
Nice.
And I was able to get him one. So that was
well played.
Sweet. Yeah. I don't remember. The 2005 All-Star game had like 300 White Sox players in it. It was pretty awesome.
That is cool.
It did not suck.
I do have that Derek Lee jersey as well.
Do you?
Yes.
Nice. That's fantastico.
It is fantastico.
Yeah, man.
So what's next? Bulls. Let's talk.
Bulls.
I call to talk about the Bulls.
Call and talk about the Boo. We can talk NBA in general too. If you'd like. Let's air it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's widen our scope.
Once free agency launched and everybody thought, well, it's going to be once LeBron falls and it's going to be this huge gold rush. Nope.
One other gold rush, but yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Other than Boogie going.
It was Boogie. And,
yeah.
The question I have is a pretty basic one. Is it enough for the Lakers to compete just having LeBron? I mean, he took that shitty-ass Cavs team.
Yeah.
That was in the East.
Yeah.
And in the West, it was like, okay. Yeah. You know, we've got the Golden State Warriors just went, oh, nice, you signed LeBron. Congratulations. We're going to sign Boogie Cousins. Now, granted, he can't play for the first half of the year, but we're going to have him when it counts.
Right.
And we're going to win the West. So,
yeah.
Go fuck yourself. That's basically what the Warriors just said.
That right? is. No, that's what they said.
Yeah. I mean, and the Lakers, look, are they going to be, I would even go so far as to say they're not going to be as good as the Rockets.
Yeah. No, I.
Right?
Right. And depending on what happens with your favorite player in the NBA, they may not be as good as the Spurs.
So let's walk up to this real quick
here. Okay.
So on that ESPN show, I don't know what it's called, Wake Up, I think it's what it's called, with Greeny and Michelle Beadle and Jalen Rose. They were talking about, what were they talking about? They were talking about how LeBron a little bit. And then somehow, some way, the conversation swung to Kawhi Leonard, right?
Right.
I don't remember how it got there, but Michelle Beadle then took it upon herself.
She brought the truth.
With pick and shovel to bury, absolutely bury Kawhi Leonard. Now, here it is, courtesy of ESPN. We believe that we way. Have to go. Here it is.
The other part of it is, it is no longer his preference to go to the Lakers because LeBron is there.
This is the walk.
Does that make sense to you? I mean, in a day and age where superstars are teaming up left and right, does it make sense to you to say LeBron James is there, so I don't want to go there when Golden State has five all-stars potentially in their starting lineup?
There's something to be said about wanting to be the alpha, wanting to be the lead.
Maybe
dog.
This is what.
And as fans and media, we got to pick our
alpha
battle.
Comment.
Do we dislike maybe. The super teams?
But there's
or
no
do we
question
want a guy that wants
anymore.
To be the leader and have people yeah. come play with him?
What this, part? Right, here we go. What here we go. Part of Kawhi Leonard's behavior in the last year and every story that's come out in the last several weeks says anything about this dude having any of the qualities that a leader is supposed to have?
Preach.
You don't talk, you don't defend yourself. Now you got stories coming out
testify.
That you're coming off as an obnoxious diva. You don't want to go play with LeBron because you want to be the top dog. You are the top dog for a team and an organization that has done really well for many, many years that you don't have the respect and you have the audacity to try to ignore, and as you continue to cash those $18 million checks. I'm so over this dude. The city of San Antonio is over this dude. You can go as soon as they get whatever they want for you. But if you think you're just going to walk out of there and get your way because you've thrown this little spoiled hissy fit and become one of the most unlikable characters, I've never seen a heel turn like this in a way that is not enjoyable. Like, you are no longer a person I root for. You are someone who has just shown every quality of a spoiled, entitled person, and you don't even have the strength to speak for yourself. Like, what are you?
That you know, my favorite epic. Part about that is she wanted to say balls
yeah,
so bad.
So bad.
And then you know she threw in strength.
You know she did, right. You know she wanted to say balls. That was epic. That was an epic rant and something I've been saying for months.
Yes,
right?
You have.
Right. Look. There's one thing that Michelle is wrong about. He will be traded. He will not be. He's not playing for the Spurs again. But there's the catch 22, right?
Right.
The way the NBA is structured right now.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi Leonard is going to make the most money with the Spurs. Right?
Okay.
So he can't just walk. $20 million is a lot of money. Right? However, the Spurs are going to get nothing for him in a trade because, I mean, yes, he's Kawhi Leonard, but he also has Kawhi Leonard's U-Haul truck full of baggage.
Yeah, but I disagree there. I think that his talent, I mean, he has, it's a bad look what he's
a
doing
real bad
and
look.
What he's done all year.
Yeah.
But the talent speaks for itself, man. And there's so many teams out there that are hungry.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I mean, I'll give you that. But he is in a this is a no-win situation for everybody involved.
For everyone involved. You're absolutely right. And we talked a little bit about it, I think it was last night, that in the past, you never hear anything negative about Popovich at all.
No, never.
I always thought, oh, wow, that you know, he's a great guy. His team right. loves him, whatever. But apparently he's a red ass. And,
yeah.
and he gets on the most talented player every time.
Yeah.
And when it was Duncan,
right,
or Tony Parker, sure, those guys can take it. You know, they're like, great, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you can yell at me and it'll filter down through the rest of the team, whatever. Right. But
if we're winning, I don't care.
And Kawhi is just like, quit yelling at me, man.
Right. Yeah.
And
so it's a heart issue.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, and I think the Spurs were like nothing more than to get rid of him, but they're not going to trade him for 70 cents on the dollar either.
Well, yeah.
Right?
No, you're right.
It's like when all the talk when before Chris Sale got traded from the White Sox. They're going to do this. I'm like, you're not trading Chris Sale for anything less than a dollar on the dollar.
And
period. And they traded for $1.05 on the dollar. So
what's weird about this, though, is typically I would think it's like a garbage for garbage NBA thing. Like, I trade you my headache, you give me your headache, and all the money. Yeah. But there's real talent here, man. So somebody's going to roll the dice.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like Bobby Portis being pissed off.
Right.
Right?
No, I get it.
Or Bobby Portis acting like a diva. And this is a top five talent.
And you're not saying Bobby Portis is a diva? No,
not at all.
Okay.
No, I would never, ever say that.
No, and I'm going to just say welcome to Sacramento, Kawhi, because that's where he's going to end.
Do you know where he belongs? I got to be 100% honest.
Where is that?
Knicks. Oh. He is a perfect Knick.
Oh.
Isn't
he?
Overpaid.
Yes.
That about. I mean, he's way more talented than anybody complaints they've had on that team. But just, he's a perfect Knick.
Oh,
for the record, I'm just saying, not saying. I don't know if I would take it. It depends on the cost, I guess, right? Like, how much does Kawhi Leonard cost?
Right.
But I mean, if you're Boston,
you don't want that headache.
You're close enough now.
Yeah.
Especially with LeBron gone. You're the best team in the East. Oh, no, Toronto's good, but.
Well.
But I mean.
We'll see what a new coach can do.
Right. Right. But you're close enough now to possibly make it to the NBA Finals without Kawhi Leonard. Now, will you get your ass stomped when you get there? Yeah.
Yeah.
You will. And Kawhi Leonard or no Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
You're going to get your ass stomped.
Yeah.
By either the Rockets or the Warriors with that five-player all-star team they have.
That's crazy.
At the time of the playoffs, not when the season starts, obviously.
Right.
But, I mean, even the Lakers, if LeBron and you saw the piece of crap team he had in Cleveland.
I did.
At least he's got some young talent here in the Lakers that he can work with. And they signed Lance Stephenson. They signed a couple other players.
Yeah, and what we got to remember with the LeBron deal is when he came back from Miami to Cleveland, it was already in the works. It was a done deal that they were going to get Kevin Love.
Yes.
So I guarantee you that there's another move that's going to happen at some point that's already been worked out.
Well, there's also
for somebody to come there and help him.
And there's all the rumor of the only reason or one of the stipulations of him signing with the Lakers was that the whole Ball family circus, the whole Ball family circus goes away. That was part of the deal, allegedly.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then they had LeVar Ball on some show, and he was rambling about how, you know, his kid's going to make him better, going to make LeBron better than what he is. Like, are you out of your mind?
Yes,
that dude is delusional.
What has that guy done to make you think that he's not insane?
It's true. The guy's he just says stupid shit so people look at him.
Yeah, it's an attention
That's
grab.
An old, it's ran its course.
Never lost.
It's ran its course. But that's not why he called. I want to touch on the boo real quick.
We do?
Because Zach LaVine, the Kings, if I remember right?
Yeah.
They signed him to a four-year, roughly like $78 million offer sheet. When it first came across the Twitters, I'm like, see ya.
Right.
Bye.
Peace.
Chicken grease. See ya. Yeah. And less than 24 hours later, they matched.
Yeah. And you knew they would I mean, their salary cap, where they're at now, are they hitting the floor in the NBA at 39 Mildo or whatever they are at?
Once they make other signings, yeah.
I mean, so. Yeah, but that's, again, you're gonna have to sign somebody's guard.
You have to sign an Eddie Robinson contract.
Eddie
Robinson, sorry. And this could be it. This could be the Eddie Robinson contract.
And you know what? I guess I'm okay with that.
And I was kind of upset by it, but then the more they had Carmen and Yurko had Paxton on.
Yeah.
Of Garpax Incorporated.
Yes.
And he said that the money wasn't really the issue because the when they were talking,
mm-hmm.
it was already that high-ish.
Oh, okay.
It was already 15, 16 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So when if you were going to try to sign him for 15 or 16 and you end up signing for 18,
whatever.
In the NBA,
yeah. that's the percentage wise, yeah, who cares? It's nothing.
So in hindsight, okay, fine. Whatever. You signed him or now you were forced to sign him, but
right.
Not that
they forced your hand.
But there some other questions I had. There's other NBA restricted free agents that are available that I'm aware of anyway. Maybe they changed in the last couple of days and when I was snoozing, but you know, there's still, I believe, Jabari Parker still out there,
yeah.
unrestricted free agent. Clint Capella from the Rockets is still an unrestricted free agent. Why don't the Bulls throw some money towards one of those guys?
I don't know,
Jabari Parker being a Chicago guy.
Yeah, and this is kind of what we touched on when we first started talking about the NBA. The two big pieces fell right away, and then now it's like people felt that they got burned 2 years ago when they did stupid contracts.
Yeah.
When the salary cap was going to be inflated.
Yep.
And then now it's like, I don't want to say regression to the mean, but it seems like it's almost knee-jerk the other way,
right.
where nobody wants to pay anybody, and they right. want to see what that guy does right. and what he pays him
right.
before I and open my checkbook.
And that's collusion, really.
Yeah.
Right.
And baseball did it.
And it's the thing about the cap is that it's kind of plateaued.
Simpsons did it.
It went up significantly for like a couple of years, and now it's starting to kind of plateau a little bit.
Yeah.
Simply from the national TV contract that Turner signed, through the roof, crazy money, which just lead, and you know, when it's collectively bargained that I believe the NBA is 50-50 split, if I remember right. So they get half that money and it was like $1 billion or something. So, I mean, that's why the salary cap went up so high.
Right.
And the NHL was close to doing that. I mentioned this on a previous podcast until the Canadian dollar went down the tape.
Right.
And they were going to have, I mean, there was talk of $90 million salary caps in the NHL,
mm-hmm.
which right now the salary cap's like 78. I mean, they were talking an extra $12 million a year. Thanks, Canadian dollar, for tanking.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks, Canada. Just kidding.
Keep your loony.
America's hat. Just kidding. I love Canada. I'm a hockey guy. How can I not like Canada? I know the lyrics to O Canada, all of them. So yeah, take that. But an article in The Athletic, I want to talk about this real quick before we, because the clock is ticking.
Oh.
They were talking about Wendell Carter Jr., the Bulls' first round draft pick. And he's playing in the summer league out in Vegas, I believe. And they were writing about how much he's impressing the Bulls' brass, both on and off the court. How smart he is, knowledgeable he is, quick learner, that kind of thing. And how good he's been on both sides of the floor, offense and defense. And he's played in 3 summer league games as of the writing of that article, which was yesterday, 11 blocks in 3 games. That's pretty good. And he seems to be interacting. Robin Lopez says that he's pretty much ready to go. Like he doesn't have to learn much. So Wendell Carter.
What do you freaking do?
It's summer league, man.
It is summer league. You're
right. It's summer league.
You're playing against other prospects, but.
Talking about practice.
It's not practice. No, not a game. Practice.
Yeah,
I think the,
you know, the Bulls win summer league every year.
Well, the story to take from this is that he's
a good guy.
He's impressing, and he was the right choice, not Michael Porter, bad back and all.
Yeah,
not that.
No,
you don't want no part of that.
Nope.
New. But so yeah, like I said, the Bulls have some money to spend. The salary cap
a lot. They got money to burn.
They do. And they burned $18 million of it here with Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
You liked him better when he was with Maroon 5, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
And now he's a basketball player. Like, damn it. His voice was so sweet.
Now, in this, he could be the third best guy on a championship team, right?
Carter?
No, I'm LaVine.
LaVine?
Yeah.
He could be like the fifth best guy.
Fifth best guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't seen him play all that well.
Nobody has, Joe.
So I just want to... Except
against the Bucks.
If you just want to replay the Timberwolves game over again.
Jesus, I haven't said one right thing today.
That's all right.
Yeah, yeah, the T-Wolves, baby.
Would you just keep watching that game on a loop and, oh, okay, he's
hey,
worth
it. Hey, I like this. Perfect.
Right. Oh, when he played the Raptor, he was, what, 10 and three boards or whatever and seven whatevers. And yeah, I don't know. If they were negotiating with him anyway, which they were, because he's a restricted free agent, if the numbers were up there in $15 million range, I'm not that upset about this contract. Can't be.
No, he's an NBA caliber player.
Right. And I'm shocked with the cap space that they have. They haven't offered Capella or Jabari Parker a contract, especially Capella. Right. I know Parker's a Chicago guy, but Capella's a really good player. He was a really good integral part of the Rockets.
Right.
He's out there. He can just sign. I mean, granted, the Rockets can match it, but if you throw enough bone at him, throw that crazy cap space money you have available.
That's true.
You could get him. You could have him. It's possible. You could write him a check that the Rockets can't cash. Right?
Yeah.
That's possible. Because he wasn't making nothing. He's making rookie contract money.
Yeah.
Just saying. He can make.
I guess
$15 million a year here.
I guess, and what we don't know, not being down there
right.
in the market, is right. how much Big Game James likes him. You know, I mean, if he's like, "Hey, that's an integral part to this," that's not moving.
If James Harden says no,
yeah.
then you're not going anywhere.
Right,
I agree with that 100%. And Harden's he's so good.
Yeah,
he's going to make that West real tough. I mean, the Warriors. Here's what I think the Rockets should try to do. In my opinion, they should try to get out to a big lead out of the gate. Win as many games as they can. I mean, every team's trying that, obviously.
Yeah.
But the Rockets are one of the few teams that can pull it off, right? Get a big lead because the Warriors are going to be coming, right? And if you want at all possible to get home court advantage.
Right.
Because once Boogie comes, that team may not lose more than two games after he comes back, right?
Right.
Because, I mean, he's coming back in January, my understanding.
Okay.
I think because he tore his Achilles. My understanding is due back maybe around the All-Star break.
Okay.
Which is in, late January, early February.
And then you figure what, maybe 10, 12 games for him to gel to figure out how he's going to work in there.
And then they just start pummeling their opponents.
Well, again, man, we saw what the non-Steph Warriors looked like, and it wasn't a good look.
No.
I mean,
no, it wasn't.
That first round, they were lucky to get out.
Yeah. And
but then after that.
Then Steph went, I can shoot the basketball.
Guess
and then
what?
He did that, and then game over.
Yeah.
That's it. Lights out. Turn out the lights.
That's
the
light is over. That's a whole stomping right there.
It was,
friend.
For sure. There was something that popped in my head real quick, and I forgot what it was. It was in there, and then it was out of there. It was something about the NBA. But anyway, I digress. So we have, just in summary, to wrap this up in a lovely tiny bow. We've got the All-Star game coming up. We got NBA talk about LeBron. Again, is that going to be enough? We'll find out. Kawhi Leonard called out on national television as a piece of crap.
Oh, my God.
Which I love.
That was so great.
Yeah, it was. She's right. 100% correct. She could not be more correct.
Agreed.
You know, and we'll see what happens. It's going to be a circus either way. So,
well, I am looking forward to the All-Star game.
All-Star game.
I'm a nerd. I admit it. I like all of it. And now that there's not going to be any more.
Amen to that.
All the way to Calabasas. I guess it would be all, like Arlington.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that was it all the way to Roanoke. Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah.
I hate that guy.
As do I.
I liked him when I was a younger man.
I did too. I thought the shtick was funny.
I bought into the shtick. But then it just
just got old, and then it was a caricature of itself.
Yeah.
And then it just got sad and weird.
Sad and weird. Very sad and weird at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not.
No.
No. So Monday night, I'll be watching the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, me too.
It'll be fun. You got.
That's one thing.
We didn't talk. Did we not talk about that? There's one American League player in the Home Run Derby.
Yeah,
one.
I know, but it's Schwarber and Baez, and after having seen as many of these, and seen as many people have a horrible second half, and then blaming it on trying to hit all the home runs in the Home Run Derby, but you know when Schwarber brought it up. When they ask him about Javi and He said he does it every day.
Right.
He like shows off for fans in batting practice. I mean, he tries to hit it as far as he can. Yeah. So that's not going to.
It's not going to affect Javi Baez
at all.
And it's not going to affect Schwarber either, because all he does is swing for the fences.
Schwarbums.
That's right. That's all he does. Is just, why would you trade him?
Everything really wrapped up nicely.
Thank you for listening to this episode of It's That Podcast. Episode 26, by the way, in case you're counting. You can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/itsthatpod. We're on Twitter, @TripleLindy's. That's me, Joe Lindholm. Jason is @J_SleetShirley. You hit us up on email if you feel so inclined. I am Joe@itsthatpodcast.com. Jason is Jason@itsthatpodcast.com. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. We're all over the place. There's no reason for you not to be able to, and the Podbean app. I left out the Podbean app. No reason for you not to hear this show, because it's great. Please listen in anytime. And if you have any feedback, we mean it. Please let us know. Twitter, Facebook. We gave you all the info. We gave you the deets. Hook us up. Let us know what you think. We thank you for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. That's it for this episode of It's That Podcast.